Hello, hello. This is JT and welcome to my podcast, It's Just a Belief. Today, I have the immense pleasure to receive Inga Brower. And before I do deep dive into how much I love Inga and all the great thing that she is and the great human being that she is, I invite you to sign up to my website, as you know, hypnocoach.ca, so you get the latest invitation to events and my newsletter every week.
She lives in the wonderful world of the state of hypnosis and finds hidden gems in your subconscious mind. She laughs, she loves, she breathes, goes deep, transforms, transitions, and laughs again. More than anything, she knows that it's just a belief.
Today I have Inga on my podcast, and I must say I'm very, very excited to have Inga for so many reasons. A couple years ago, there was a word that would come back all the time in my head and I would see everywhere, and it was the word Reiki. And although I don't identify Inga with Reiki, but at the time, a couple years ago, this is really how I got into knowing her. So I was doing research. I was kind of called upon to learn what Reiki was all about. I found Inga. I took Reiki 1 and 2, and I just fell in love with her, and I wanted to work with her. And I'll explain later how her and I work together for my business. But Inga is first freshness. She's out there. What you see is what you get. She's spring to me. Like, she's just spring. Like, she's what you see is what you get. Genuine, authentic. Co-creating with her, working with her, exchanging with her, being in her energy, being around her always makes me feel good, always makes me feel grounded, always makes me feel aligned. She's the person on the planet that I know that judge the less. She always, always absolutely take you where you are, and it's always all right, and it's always exciting, and it's always great. I love Inga really much. And I've worked with her for a whole year every month, and she's been made a humongous contribution to my business in a very unique way. So, Inga, thank you for coming. Thank you for being here. I'll turn it over to you, and I'll let you introduce yourself to my audience.
Oh, well, first of all, thank you so much for welcoming me so beautifully. I find myself really moved by your introduction. That may be pregnancy hormones really wrapping it up. But I really appreciate being appreciated like that. Thank you so much. What it brings to mind is a really clear memory for me when I was about 16. And of course, at 16, you really ask yourself, what do I want to be when I grow up? What is the most important thing? And I remember super clearly that for me, I wanted to be authentic when I grew up. That was the thing. And being described like that kind of feels like a coming home moment of like, yes, I've made it.
Don't retire now.
So how to introduce myself further than that? I'm having a very, very human day today. I'm at the end of my very first pregnancy, so feeling very tender and human, and also really enjoying the fact that I can be here with you and just be who I am. And that is my work. That is my work, is to be who I am and to invite other people to become who they are. And I've done that with energy work and coaching and teaching.
So people go to you specifically for what? They reach out to you, you would say, mainly for what kind of challenge or issues or...
The most common thing I've heard is this vague but very true and very felt sense of being stuck. And so people come to me when they've seen themselves redo the same patterns over and over and over again, the same kind of relationship they keep getting into, the same kind of self-sabotage when it comes to work. And they, no matter what they try, they somehow can't get out of it. So they need a different approach. And that's me.
Yeah, your approach is very unique. So how would you describe it so the audience understand better how you work?
But there's some key ingredients, and they show up completely different for each person. But the key ingredients are really, I meet, in my one-on-one work anyway, I meet the person exactly where they at. So that requires us to peel away some of the untruths, some of the stories, some of the beliefs that are keeping people in their heads about what's going on for them. So I help them really kind of drop into, but what is true underneath that? And that's where we work from. And then my intuition kicks in, my many, many, many trainings with many, many, many things kicks in. And I guide the person from exactly where they're at to the intention they've set, where they want to go. And for me, it's like the way my brain works, I can kind of see the path from A to B that needs to be walked, and where the resistances are and where the blockages are and where my clients might try to do anything except feel a certain feeling or admit a certain truth. And I sort of get them to face those places. Mm-hmm. And when they do, it's so beautiful because they crack open in a way and a whole new reality becomes possible. And they get to co-create with what's right in front of them in a new way.
And I must say, for having worked with
you like
a
art.
Lot, yeah, and for having worked with you a lot, the way that you talk right now is exactly the way you speak in session. Like when we do work with you, mm-hmm. the way you just describe it, the words, the energy behind it, the way you approach this with always that kind of fresh, new. It's like if there's nothing attached to it. It's very hard to describe it. It's like that floating energy that's out there helping you move forward, but nothing. It's also very, you have, studied in very serious places, healing medicine, if I recall very well. And I'd like, people maybe to understand your background, because I know a lot of people, this is what happened, right? They have certain kinds of intuition and formation and things, and then they have more, I would say, scholar studies and stuff, and sometimes they don't know how to put that all together. But you've done that in a very unique way.
Oh, that was such a struggle for me in the beginning. I remember one time walking down the street with my sister, sort of crying of thinking, like, how am I going to bridge what I'm learning on the scientific with what I'm learning in this like lived, experiential, authentic way? And so what that was coming from is that I've done quite some serious studies. So I do have a bachelor's in psychology at McGill, and I continued, and I have a master's in neuropsychology from l'Université de Montréal. And in parallel, I also did a 2-year certificate in energy medicine, which culminated to like 525 hours or something. And I was doing all of that at the same time. And those two worlds are so, they're parallel and they don't meet easily. And holding the tension in my whole body and my whole being was really painful, I have to admit. But they came together when I finally worked with people. And I've seen over, I think, 1,000 clients at this point. And it's within people that the concepts, the grounded understanding that comes from the scientific world meets the experiential and the lived experience of my clients. And it's through doing that work and guiding them as best as I could and diving into the energy, diving into their subconscious, that the two sort of bridge together, and they don't at all feel at odds for me anymore. They don't feel like they need to fight. None of that. Just all informs this one intention really for me, which is to help people become who they are. And who they are is freaking phenomenal. Like, there's no other person you should be. Like, yourself is exactly it. So.
Wow. Thank you. I'm very happy I've asked you that question, actually, because we talked about that many times, but I never heard it that way. So it's very interesting for me, because people have to know the way I've worked with you. I'm just going to describe the way I've worked with you over the past year and a half almost, so people know. And now we've had our last session last month, since you're going on maternity leave, and we're going to talk about that after. But so how I approach Inga, I said, you know what, I'm starting this business. This was like a year and a half ago. My business started almost 2 years ago, but almost a year and a half ago, I said, you know, I'm starting this, and my main objective is to keep my energy still, keep my energy level, because this is asking me a lot. And this was the first thing. And I said, you know what, each month, first Monday of each month, we're going to meet together for an hour, you know, 90 minutes, an hour. And I want you to help me manage my energy. So this was the first thing, the first way, you know, it turned into something else, but this is really how it started. And you know, I would look at the past month and then look at the future month, at what I wanted to create for the next month, how I wanted to get better and all this. And from session to session, it evolved into a lot of different things. And I remember, I think after 7 or 8 months, you said, oh, yeah, that's right. You came for energy, you know, for being constant with your energy. And we realized that this had not been an issue. At the end of the day, I was really able to manage my energy evenly all year long, despite the fact that those sessions at the beginning were very, taking me a lot of energy and time, because I was learning something new and I was learning to navigate new world as well, the new business and all this. So that gives an idea of the, you know, field of possibilities. And I know you don't do a lot of one-on-one, so I was very fortunate to be able to work with you on one-on-ones, because I know you focus now on groups and programs and stuff, if I understand correctly, and you let us know about that. But you know, this was really amazing how it turned out into a lot of different other things as we moved along and co-created together.
Yeah. What I want to say before I speak to anything else is just what a rock star manifester and how fast you are in learning. So it's really fun to be able to work with you month to month and really show up. What is here today? What was not integrated or not? What was bumpy? What was weird? What was not to your satisfaction the past month? And then where do you want to go in the next month? And we structured it that way. And in some way, all my work is in that way somehow, because what we bring from the past, what's stuck energy, what's patterns that we're repeating, what's loops, which beliefs that don't serve, which anything like that needs to be a little bit cleaned up. And it's very simple once you see it that way. It's just a little cleaning. And then you can realign with what you're actually wanting to create.
Yeah.
And that is also, it gets to be so simple.
Yeah.
Where you get to align yourself, be exactly the version of you who creates what you're out to create. And you've created some amazing things over the last year and a half. It was really amazing, really fantastic and satisfying to watch.
Yeah, well, it was good to have you on my team for sure. As I tell everybody, right, you need to have an A team to start with. And you were on my A team, and you still are somehow, even if we don't work monthly together. You know, we still remain very close in thoughts and energy and attention, and also whenever we need to reach out. This podcast is really about beliefs, and I'm curious if you want to share some of the beliefs that you have changed. Mm-hmm. And maybe we can start with maternity if you want, because that's the most update thing in life, right? What are the beliefs that you changed about maternity that you think are worth sharing?
Okay, I've got chills of the one I'm thinking, because it was huge for me. I delayed getting pregnant for many years because I really believed that becoming a mom was going to kill my business. Wow. It was going to stop me from doing the work that is really mine to do in the world. And with time, and of course with the year that we've had with COVID, with everything going online, like a lot of changes happened. But what I'm finding to be so much more true is actually that, no, this is definitely part of my path. This is definitely for me to do. And it's bringing me even closer to my work, to what I'm really here to bring to the world. And I keep joking that I feel like I'm having twins, because I'm having the actual human baby, and I'm also really birthing all the new business structures and all the new levels at which I'm called to shine, and I'm called to bring my particular creative genius forward in the world. So that was a huge one.
How did that change?
Yeah, how did it change? I think there was a moment where I had to stop long enough to examine the belief and to see, what does that belief create in my reality, and do I want that reality?
Can you repeat that? Because I know people will love to hear that. Because so many, this is such a today's reality. So many women out there, and I do have clients right now who have that reality where they feel like it's the career or the baby, or the career or this. I mean, this is a big statement, but, you know, how did you change that?
Yeah, so really what I changed is, there's a big culturally revolutionary something in this change of belief. But what I really did is I had a look at the belief, and the belief was something around, yeah, I have to choose career or baby. And I love my work so much, there was no way I was going to choose a non-existent baby over this career that I loved. But I sat with the belief long enough to examine, what is the reality that's going to create? What is going to happen in my life if I hold on to this belief? And I could see that it would create some resentment after some time, where I chose, quote unquote, the career over the family life, mm-hmm. where really my heart and my whole being yearns for this experience of maternity, being a mom. And so that just wasn't good enough for me. So I decided to create something different. And I found a different belief that I then aligned with and created a whole new reality around. And it feels so smooth and so creative and so life-affirming to believe that instead it's not an either-or. It's, how do I create the career that supports the motherhood experience that I want to have? Or how does my motherhood experience inform my career? And letting there be a bridge in between both. And that's a very fertile creative ground.
Wow.
And so that's one of the core things for me. I feel like the joy bubbles come up around this idea. We get to create our lives. We get to create the path we're on. And one very, very, very simple way to do that is to examine our beliefs.
Yeah.
And to shift them when they don't create what we want to be creating.
Yeah, totally agree. This is what, you know, that's the base of the work. That I do and that you do, mm-hmm. with different modalities, but that we do. So that's a very interesting one. I'm happy we're putting this out there, because I know there's a lot of women, a lot more than what we think, that are struggling with this, and especially entrepreneurs and solopreneurs. Like, and I'm not saying that it's not true with career people in corporations, but I know when you're a solopreneur and an entrepreneur, you know, nobody's going to be out there, and if, especially it's a small business, and it relies, it's a service-based business that relies a lot on you and your skill set and your talent. That's a, you know, I know I have someone around me who's in marketing, and that's the same thing. It's her old business, right? And she's the business, right? So what happens when, you know, you're out there in your maternity? And mat leave, that you wouldn't have like a corporation, but you took a decision, like you're taking a real mat leave, right?
I am. I really am. So for me, the creative challenge in this is utilizing something that has been underutilized in myself so far, which is my inner CEO, my inner leader, my inner mentor. And so I'm shifting my business so it doesn't all revolve around me, but rather the programs I've already created, leveraging them. And I'm also creating a whole team of Reiki practitioners that will be serving the Montreal area in this way I've been serving the Montreal area in the past.
Wow.
And I don't have to do that one-on-one, like, direct work anymore. I can be behind the scenes mentoring them. So a real mat leave, as in work will not look like what it's looked like until now, but I will be definitely behind the scenes creating and mentoring and giving myself a lot of freedom and a lot of choices, because I don't know what kind of baby I'm going to have either. He might require me 24/7, and then I need to be available for that, and that's a choice. And wow. If you know, he's like a really chill baby, then there's more creative space for all the projects that I want to be birthing. And so I'll get to do that.
Are you really setting an example, Inga? I don't think you realize that, right? I don't think you see, and I'm not sure if you realize it as much as I think I see it, but it's a big, yeah, you see it, right? It's really setting an example.
I think I do. I think like there's something in me that feels so pleasurable about innovating and doing things differently. Because that was a huge belief around maternity, where like you have to give up your life, you have like all these things. And I think I've been preparing for 6-7 years now, if I really get honest.
Yeah.
How do I want to do this?
Yeah.
And not take any templates that don't serve me, but really create my own way. And if that blasts a path for other women, hell yeah, I'm so excited. Or men, I mean.
Yeah, exactly.
Dads also have a whole
absolutely
thing going on when their babies are born.
Absolutely. Wow. I love that story. It's a fantastic story. Do you have other beliefs or any other areas of your life you would like to share that you've changed, impacted your life, anything about transformation?
Yeah, there's a really big one. I used to really believe that transformation had to be very difficult and dramatic and would maybe have to blow up everything in your life. And I think for some time I needed to believe that to be willing to move through what transformation requires of you, because it's not you have to be willing to give certain things up. That is, I think, still true. But even more true, I think, is that transformation can be sweet, and it can be gentle, and it can be full of ease, and it can be funny. In my sessions with clients, like, there's just as much laughing because there's crying, mostly more laughing these days. And that's been a huge one for me. So letting it be a lot more chill.
You're, I think, the only one in the practitioners I work with, either as people on my A-team, personal team, or clients or people I talk to that have that And that's true. You don't only speak about that. You don't only talk about that, but you really bring us into transforming in that ease and fun and lightness. It's true. It is really the experience we're having when we're transforming things with you. So you really incarnate that totally.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Now the idea for me that it play, that we can transform through play, and it's very powerful also.
Yeah. It's a very unique
and
approach.
The quote, play is intelligence having fun. is the
like
quote that.
That
really like resonates for me a lot lately.
I never heard that before. You said play is intelligence having fun. I love
having
that.
Fun.
You said that.
Yeah. It's one of those that people say it's Einstein, but is it really Einstein? We don't know.
Yeah, Einstein. You know, when we don't know, we
require
said something.
Google.
Oh wow, I never heard that before.
Exactly.
But that's totally you. Like it is. That's why I said at the beginning. You're like spring. You're like fresh. It's like, you know, easy. But then the real work happens. Like it's not. We're just out there giggling and nothing happens. Like, sorry, but things really happen.
Yes, the both end. Things do really happen.
What would you say to your young self? Like, what is the things about the belief she had when she was young? The young Inga that you would talk to her about today if you could.
Wow. There's no need to take things that seriously. and I'd also appreciate her for how seriously she did take things. Mm-hmm. I think I would spend most of my time validating her. Because younger me was really flying blind. I still am, but not knowing what she's doing and really questioning sort of everything and really looking for a template or a rule book or like, what can't somebody just tell me what to do to create what I want to create? Except I haven't really seen what I want to create yet. I don't know what it is that I want to create. And so I had to fall back on my own intuition, which I'm so grateful I did. But the doing that was so full of doubt every step of the way. So I'd spend a lot of time just encouraging her and saying, yeah, you don't know what you're doing, and there's a genius in that. There is a brilliance in that. It's okay for you to trust yourself. And when things really don't feel right, trust that too. When you're spending a lot of time convincing yourself that something's the right thing to do, double check that. Use your intelligence, use your doubt, but try not to figure it all out. You don't need to figure it all out. You just need to have the next step. And you're doing such a good job taking that next step and that next step and that next step. And I would tell her I'm really proud of her.
Wow.
Yeah.
You are proud of her, aren't you? Like, she's
sound like just now. I really am.
I'm sure she can feel that.
Little badass.
Tell me, what do you see has people, you know, people come to you with their own beliefs and everything. So what kind of beliefs do you see that are the most detrimental to people? What do you see coming to
There's
you that
something
you feel
wrong with me. Sorry, that one was so clear. It just came out right away. Yeah. The belief of there is something wrong with me. That is usually the first one we get to bust. And we do it in subtle ways, and people probably have no idea what I'm doing. But there's a lot of ways I cue people to experience themselves that bypasses the judgment of, if I'm feeling anxiety, therefore it means there's something wrong with me. Something needs fixing.
Mm-hmm.
So a simple question I might ask is, just what does the anxiety feel like in the body? And if it were like a friend trying to help you in some way, what is it trying to do for you?
Mm.
And that simple question brings up a whole new assumption, rather than it being alarm bells that you failed as a human, mm-hmm. and that's it, you should just give up. Rather, it's a little like a tinkle to say, pay attention to something. There's something I have some alarm bells around. Super simple. But we bypass the whole story of there's something wrong with me.
There's something wrong with me. Yeah. I love that. I love that. It's true. People do have that belief. I see it a lot also in my practice, right? And being a mother, soon to be, already a mother, and soon having a little boy with you, a little soul with you, what do you envision in terms of, you know, helping this little soul to come to this world and have the beliefs that will be helpful? So do you have any thoughts about that? Because when I had my granddaughter, I freaked out. Okay, I was freaking out about everything I was telling her. Because I always was so afraid that I would, you know, that I would program her, that I would say the wrong thing and everything. It was super not good for me. It was not a good experience in that way, because I was not natural, right? I was trying to, not to perform, but I was trying to be very conscious. And in trying to be so conscious, I was at the same time not all present, right? It's a funny thing. And now she's been here for a couple of days. She's going to be here, and she's a year and a half, so she's a little girl, right? And now I catch myself like I'm natural with her really now, right? I'm not anywhere near that first thing. So I was wondering, have you given some thought to that? But
thank you for sharing that.
Because we know what programming is. We know what programming is. Like, we know how important what we say. We see it in our clients every day. You and I, we have people coming to us being damaged, being hurt, being in pain because of things they've heard when they were a child, right? Because of things that were done to them when they were a child. And I'm saying done to them not in a victimhood way, but in a reality. And even very benign things sometimes have a big impact, right? And I was not, like, it was very difficult for me when I was a grandmother for the first time with that consciousness. So I'm just throwing this at you and see if you have given it some thought, so maybe you can help people out there.
Yeah, I think in the beginning of my healing journey and becoming more conscious around all of these things, I thought about that quite a bit. Oh, like when I have a child, da 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 da. And I think I had to let go of that to actually go through with bringing a human being into this world and actually bring a lot of acceptance and grace to myself, in the sense that I am not going to get it 100% right 100% of the time. I'm just not. And how I'm approaching it is, I feel really grateful and humbled by having had a good 8 to 10 years of training in helping people heal, and to rely on that with my little boy. And I think where I'm placing the focus is a lot less around trying to protect him from all the hurts and all the potential traumas, but really teaching him resilience.
Mm.
That is, I think, for me, where the juice is, where it's kind of exciting, where it relaxes me because, yeah, I am totally going to screw up. and life is going to be hard because it is sometimes. And he's going to be very upset on occasion because I have to, I don't know, go to the doctor and he's not there. Like, life. And so, yeah, like that focusing on repair, on resilience, and on transformation, really giving the tools of alchemy, where you get to take every quote unquote bad experience and turn it into learning, turning it into something good. So, yeah, that's how I'm approaching it. And when he's really tiny, I mean, yes, he'll hear the words, but his brain isn't formed to understand these words just yet. So I'm really focusing on how can I help him have a nervous system that registers safety.
Oh, okay.
And feels safety in the world.
That's a very, such a good point. I'm so happy you're bringing this point, because that's also something you and I, I'm sure you heard as much as me in my practice, although I haven't been as long as you in that capacity, but safety is a very, so how do you have anything you think you could share on how we help children with safety?
Yeah, I think there's something about being real with them. So working on my own grounding, my own safety, my own being taken care of myself. The way I'm seeing it right now, I mean, I might have a completely different answer in 6 months, but that I'm his like home base, right? Right now he's known my heartbeat. He's grown inside my body. He knows my smells. Like this is familiar to him. So this is home base. I'm going to have to accept that it's going to be very sticky giving birth in August and a lot of just like being with my nervous system. And he's going to be continuing to register my nervous system as the normal baseline. So he's going to be attuning to my heartbeat, my breathing, all of that. So the absolute best thing I can do for him is to make sure that my nervous system is regulated, that I'm feeling safe, I'm feeling calm. And that extends, you know, to our little family. So I had the most beautiful moment a week or two ago. My husband walks in and he's like, okay, we need to talk. And he says, I understand that for the first year, I'm not going to be able to be the dad I want to be because it's just going to be too little. And I'm a non-breastfeeding person. So I understand that you're going to be his home base. But that means what I can do is I can take care of myself. So I'm really good and I can take care of you. I can take care of the house. I can take care of the cleaning and the food. So you can be that home base for our son. And that moved me so much. It was so beautiful to hear him say that, to understand that we have different roles right now. So, yeah. Beautiful.
It's beautiful. Not only it's beautiful, but I love the image of the home base. I just love how you describe this. Like, this has never been described to me this way. Safety. And about taking care of yourself, how the ripple effect of taking care of yourself, feeling safe, etc. And then it's about, you know, creating the environment around you also, right, for safety. That's really amazing how you're putting this. Wow. Inga, I'm sure this episode will hit home for so many soon to be mother or young mothers or you know, people who are thinking also about maternity. We spoke a lot about maternity, but I know there's a lot of you before this maternity things came into your life, other beliefs that you have changed and things you have changed. Do you have any other one in mind you would love to share?
I'd like to share one that I've had the whole time. Not so it's not a transformation story, but it's like a blessing story, if you will. Ever since I'm quite young, I have this sense that everything is possible. And that's sort of a core to my identity in some ways. When I had my first boyfriend, I would, in a horrible codependent fashion, ask him every like 12 minutes, what do you love about me? And when... And sometimes he'd answer. Most of the time he'd be like, stop asking me this. This is the most horrible, unattractive question. But when he did, he'd say, you have a sense of possibilities. You see what's possible. And that's a belief that has made so many incredible things possible for me. And it's a belief that's really helped me and been a blessing and been a balm
in your life.
So, yeah. I'm glad to be able to name that one, because we often talk about like a belief that wasn't so helpful and mm-hmm. then one that's more helpful. But this one's kind of been there throughout and really powerful in the very positive sense of the word.
So anybody out there that have the belief that things are not possible, what would you tell them since you had that belief for so long?
Well, you're right. Because you're creating it. You're creating that it's not possible. So who would you be if it were possible? What would you try if it were possible? And what would you have to feel if you tried and it wasn't actually possible? And that might be the thing you're avoiding. But even when that horrible feeling occurs, still not the end of your story. It can still be possible. It might just be one of those bumps in the road, one of those big moments where you have a reckoning. You get to decide again. Okay. Wasn't possible this way. What about this way?
Wow.
Yeah.
It's very helpful. I'm sure people are now saying, oh, I want to work with Inga. I want to work with Inga because I want to work with you again now that I'm hearing you. So, what's going to be possible to be somehow kind of close or around your work, or, you know, how can people can access your work and your wisdom in the next years? While you're going to be creating all that safety around you.
Yeah, so what's possible right now is I do have a few self-study programs available. So what those are, they're really a packaging of my methods, my way of understanding things, and they're taking you through a journey to... depending on the journey. So there's one called Money Manifestation Month, which is all about cleaning your beliefs around money. There's one called Love Manifestation Month, same, kind of cleaning your ideas around love, filling yourself up with love, loving yourself in such a way that boundaries become easy and therefore all the relationships in your life upgrade. I've got... one, if you're interested really in the energetics, the chakra journey. So that takes you in a journey through the different chakras. And then there's my flagship program, Soft and True, which is really a 9-week program to help you do sort of the deep alchemy transformational work to be the softest, truest version of yourself. So those are available anytime. And what's going to be coming from my end is I'm going to be shifting more into a mentoring role. So if you're interested in working with some of my students, get in touch. We'll figure out who's the right fit for you. And then 9 months to a year from now, so spring 2020, what is it now? 2021, 2022. I'm planning on, letting my Reiki Montreal business really shine. So I have like lots of events and lots of ways of getting together in community and growing together in a playful, easy way. And my own personal work will for sure evolve throughout all of that. I'm also teaching Reiki 1, 2, and 3. I have a bunch of group programs. So if you're interested in becoming a healer, whether that's just for yourself or to bring other people on healing journeys, I will be available for that again.
Yeah, I did take my Reiki 1 and 2 with you. This is how we connect, and I connect with a beautiful community around you, because I must see people on this class that I was, both classes, or I'm still around them, and we still chat and exchange, and a very nice community around you, a very good people, that's for sure. So I might go for my Reiki tree eventually, right? So maybe when you can,
fantastic.
Back, maybe I should go and
do
that. So my last question to you is the same question I asked to all my guests. If you could grant one belief, let's say to your little boy, which belief would that be?
Okay, you just made it so real with for my little boy. I'm gonna have to be really serious about this. / playful. if I could grant one belief. I think it would be around this is tough. This is a good question.
And now we're this podcast is audio, but you should see her face now, because we're in video as we're doing this, and her tongue is out and her body's twisting and her head is behind.
It's like an exorcism happening right here. That you are valuable enough to listen to. That cuts to something deep, I think, that I would really wish for people to really know, that you are valuable and wonderful and cherished enough to merit your own attention, your own listening.
And do you have a name, the little boy?
It's not okay, semi-secret.
Okay, very good. We'll have to invite you again.
Yeah.
to invite you again. Any other words?
Find out what
is. There you go. We'll have a breastfeeding podcast session.
Yeah.
Do you have a word of wisdom? A last word you'd like to share with the audience of It's Just Belief?
Yes, there is a Rumi quote that I love, and I want to make sure I get it exactly right. So you're going to hear me typing here for a second.
That's okay. I love Rumi.
Oh, that's a different. Okay. Yes, my favorite quote: stop acting so small. You are the universe in ecstatic motion.
Wow.
My Rumi.
Say it again.
I love that one. Stop acting so small. You are the universe in ecstatic motion.
Wow. Fantastic. Thank you so much, Hinga. It was a pleasure. And we could have gone and talked like this, you know, forever. I've been thinking that it will not be possible for you to live and to go on mat leave, that I would absolutely not be able to do this next year without you. So, you know, you will be dear in my thoughts, and I know we'll be in contact. And I want to thank you for all the work and the great contribution you did to my business, to my work, to my own healing, my own transformation, my own journey, because you were really part of it at different stages. You were part of it before I changed career. When we met, I had just stopped drinking, which was like more 4 years ago. You know, the whole journey since then has been really different and amazing. And you've been part of it at different stages of it. And I just want to say thank you, because all this, there's a part of you in all the work that I do. So thank you again.
Thank you.
Until next time, as you all know, it's just the